In this spotlight, we're going to meet Odin. Odin is the leader of the Aesir. So he is also the father of Thor. Thor we've met before. So Hyperborean people on this planet, the people who live in a fourth dimension in the north region of Earth, and their leader is a person called Odin. And he's not from this planet, just like Aesir are not from here. So you can think of it like Hyperboreans is what they called here as the colony that this is now, that they stayed here on Earth. But, and obviously they have children here and they made life here, like Thor is born here already. But back there at home, some of them that came from there to here, they still have memories of the past and everything, and they definitely a culture that associates themselves not from fully the Earth. So Odin is a leader of the fourth dimensional Aesir. He is, as I said, originally not from this planet, and his people came here through an energy portal and ended up staying here. Before he came here, this is the interesting part about Odin. This man is someone who became a master. He became an enlightened master. And he went through this process that made him a respected leader of the Aesir. So it was not some sort of, I don't know, succession by genetics or whatever. Like he was elected as someone that is super wise and strong and powerful and knowledgeable and wise. So now the story as to how he achieved his enlightenment is sort of from the human side, from the Norse mythology, I'll tell you. So according to that story, he for 9 days and nights hung from the branches of the Yggdrasil tree of life. He had no food and no drink, and he was alone, and he was in pain, and he was essentially suffering, you know, in pain, seeking the light. And then eventually the consciousness moved beyond the body, and then he realized that he's not the body. He realized that the tree is not the tree. He realized that everything is a hologram and a simulation, and within that, the runes were revealed to him. And the runes are the symbols that the Norse people used. So the runes were revealed to him. He understood the meaning of the runes. And that's when he came off the tree and everything. Essentially, he realized how to utilize this reality correctly. He became the master. So I know this sounds very similar to a lot of stories like the Jesus, the Buddha, and all this other stuff, right? Of the seekers of the light that went for a certain period of time and just, you know, sat there with a pillar or a tree or something until eventually they understood the bigger picture, right? Or like the Hebrew tradition, right? And the letters were revealed to him and the letters were conscious and he knew the meaning of the letters. So you can see like there's all human traditions have some similarities, some components of that, because this is sort of the process and it's kind of all the same story. So I don't, you know, think you physically actually, you know, were hanging from any tree. But whatever the mystery tradition that Odin was studying led him to become this kind of a wise and conscious leader who understood how the simulations of the universe are put together. Doesn't mean necessarily he can go and make his own simulation, but he started to understand how it all works and understand sort of that this is not really real and that if you think of it differently or change your meaning, something else could happen. Essentially all the stuff that I teach you. So this is what Odin became aware of and then, you know, brought to his people, and then they elected him to be the wise leader. All right, so now I talked about how Aesir came to Earth through a portal. So they followed a macrotubular network to arrive here, MTN. And now you might want to wonder why they came. It's sort of almost by accident. There were beings called Rakshasas who have tricked the Aesir, their home world, back far, far, far back in time. And there was a war. And the Aesir had to stand their ground and take back from Rakshasas whatever was stolen. Rakshasas are I guess by human terms would be the demons. So they are fourth dimensional people, they're people, they're not demons. They are genetically sort of like a humanoid blueprint, but with an animal form, and they're shapeshifters, so they can actually change their genetics, not to everything in the world. They can't become a tree or a pig or something, but they, within the parameter of their body, they can shift it a little bit, like they can change color, they can shift into become transparent and so on. So they kind of like, they have the ability that makes them, because they're not so scrupulous and they are not very moral beings, makes them on the dangerous side to people who maybe are more innocent. So at the time, Aesir were not aware of these kinds of beings, and where they interacted with them, they ended up feeling like they were tricked, the Aesir. Now, this is a very similar scenario as in what happens here with human beings on Earth with the reptilian beings, the Ushumgal and Anuna, and how Pleiadians felt that the humans were tricked and went on in trying to protect the humans and so on. So we sort of like, we ended up as a humans with the victim role of being tricked, even though we weren't really tricked, but it is part of the scenario of losing innocence. So Aesir kind of had their own story with that. Far back in time in their own world. And the Rakshasas are not reptilian. They're not feline either. I know a lot of times on the internet from some Chinese game or whatever, people for some reason draw them as like a tiger type of a person. They're not. Please don't think they're feline. They're really not. They some animal form, but I have no idea what animal that is. Human looking kind of animal. Anyway, they are, they play the role of the tricksters that allowed Aesir to lose innocence. And they took a different role. So when humans became sort of like the victims who would worship the ones who tricked us, Aesir went on after the tricksters to get their power back. So both have its issues as solutions, but let's just say that's what Aesir did. And then because they chased after Rakshasas who went into the macrotubular network of the universe and ended up traveling around after them, Rakshasas ended up here on Earth. So I don't think this was planned. I think they just ended up here because this is one of the big hubs and a lot of roads kind of lead to here. So they ended up here. And when they ended up here, that also brought the Aesir after them. So that war sort of continued, and they continued that process here, and Aesir were victorious, and I don't know if they destroyed Rakshasas or what they did with them, but somehow they stayed here, the Aesir, and Rakshasas disappeared. So at that point, Aesir lost their innocence, but at the same time also gained wisdom, as in they didn't want to just go and start killing things and revenge or whatever. So they had their own internal transformation as species. And the group that chased Rakshasas here to Earth ended up staying, and this is what we now know as Hyperboreans. This is the branch of the Aesir, which there are many that stayed home, but the branch of them, a small group of them that came here, started a colony, and then grew from that. So Odin is sort of the representation of that conscious power and wisdom that saw his people being tricked and then saw what the solution was. He was the one leading the charge, the righteous power of, you know, taking back whatever was stolen. But it, part of it was to educate his people in not choosing to be the victims. So if humankind went into the pathway of victimhood for a really long time and we're still recovering from that one, Aesir never did because of Odin. Because he knew, I mean, even though I'm sure he understood that revenge is not the best plan, but Aesir didn't go after Rakshasas in revenge. They went almost like in this internal anger and desire to take back what was stolen. And he allowed that to happen and even led that in attempt to help his people to not become victims. But then as they were going after Rakshasas, they became tempered. They learned self-discipline. They learned how to hold themselves to a higher standard and ended up somehow getting rid of Rakshasas. But at that point, I know that Rakshasas now cannot in any way even find them, never mind touch them, the Aesir. So there's some sort of an energy boundary that was created. But that happened by consciousness. So Aesir, because of Odin, never went powerless, never went into losing their power and becoming victims. Instead, they remained conscious and they went almost the other extreme into anger and vengeful. And then they had to shift back into the center, into compassion and love and presence. So they're still vigilant about not letting anybody trick them, I'm sure, because that's a wound of the culture. But overall, Odin was the reason that they ended up never experiencing victimhood, even though their culture was tricked back at home. So that's essentially why Odin is such an important representative of these people, because he holds this sort of concept of purity of truth and justice. Kind of like you go after something because it's just, but only to the line where that makes sense, still injustice, not past that line. So he represents truth and justice, when in this story, Rakshasas would represent lies and corruption. Of course, it's not that black and white, obviously, in reality, but since we're talking symbolically, that's what the energies would be. So let's see. The Rakshasas don't exist here on Earth, by the way, anymore, but Hyperboreans stay, and they still are here, and Odin is still here. So the Aesir and Odin himself ended up staying, and that was before human beings, by the way, so we're talking far back in time. And then when human beings showed up on this planet and started to multiply and do their thing, the Hyperborean Aesir were still in a third dimension interacting with them. But considering how young the human race was and that they also went through this experiment of being sort of tricked and went down in consciousness, they went into the victimhood, Odin decided to take his people out of the experiment. This is why Hyperboreans are in 4D instead of 3D. So they're not sharing the planet with us in the same plane of existence. They are one plane up because they didn't want to interfere with our learning. And, well, probably he didn't want to corrupt his people with our story. So that's why they remain in a different frequency, even though they still live here and they could show up in 3D. Now, Odin himself, as a conscious leader, was also a very curious person. He's almost kind of like a monk in the sense, even though he's a leader who can, you know, play and party and everything, but there's a part of him that's very spiritual, like a monk, and that side of him enjoyed coming here to 3D and walking among the people. And there literally are stories about Odin, as in, you know, big guy, white dude with sort of a blondish hair, walking around in among humans, and people notice that, oh, well, this is a person that's unusual and definitely looks like, you know, they know what they're doing. But he would not interact with people much. He would just kind of walk around and observe. So out of that comes that legend that, you know, nothing could be unseen to Odin. He knows everything. Part of that also is he has one eye. So, like, he literally has two eyes because he's a humanoid person, so it's not like he's a cyclops. No, he's got two eyes. But he lost one eye because he sacrificed that eye in order to get wisdom. So there's a whole story about that. I'm not going to go into it, but essentially this was, in the story, something that, like, he had to give up seeing reality certain way in order to be able to see it differently. And this is everything that we're talking about today, is that if you're in a small box, you can keep that perception if you also want to be in a big box. So you have to give up the smaller perception in order to gain the higher perception. Like, you have to lose an eye, according to the story. So Odin is somebody that is a representation of that. And that's what I want you guys to tune into, is somebody who internally was able to go through this, and they are not that far ahead of the human race. So, I mean, they have higher tech, you know, than we do, and definitely some higher understanding and more of the, what we would call magic, like the druid type of elemental magic. But it's actually just understanding of reality at a different level. But they're not that far ahead. They actually kind of like the people that we are, but they went through the same troubles and tribulations and arrived at a different conclusion. So the reality that Aesir come from, the Vanir and Aesir both from their home far back in time, that place has duality, kind of like the way we have here on Earth. So if most of the star seeds that come here come from much more unified worlds, when everything is kind of love and light and neutral almost, and very little individuality, and they come here and kind of get shocked by, oh my God, this is like so intense and dense, and the opposites are so far apart here and it's painful. But somebody like Aesir, they did not experience that coming to Earth because their home is actually very similar. They also have strong duality. They also have lots of intensity. They also have individuality. Each person is very much a unique individual. They think for themselves. They not like some sort of a tribal consciousness. They never had that. So that makes them actually sort of like, this is what it could be with human beings if they wake up to the next level of internal authority, sovereignty, and mastery. So this is why we're talking about Odin as a symbol that you can tune into as a type of a person that has gone through this type of a difficulty, did his spiritual journey to learn and grow, sacrifice one eye, sacrifice the vision of lower to get the vision of higher, and arrived at the place where he is the representation of that harmonious mastery, essentially. Okay, so that's what I'm going to leave you with today.